103. Dear people of God, called to be saints, the psalmist begins with these words: "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What strikes you when you see this beginning is that when you come to the end of the psalm, there's a marvelous symmetry here. It begins and ends on exactly the same note, the exact same phrase: "Praise the Lord, O my soul." And in between, he is calling on all creation to join him in adoration, in praise, or in thanksgiving. It's interesting that he starts out by inciting himself to thanksgiving, to praise. And that is something necessary, because at the very beginning, thanksgiving or praise is a personal matter. It's where we bow down before the Lord in humble adoration for all of his mercies. That's not all it is, and we understand that. When we are thankful, when we are joyful, knowing God and all of his blessings, when we are overcome with a sense of his goodness and loving kindness, we give expression to it. We have to. We will speak to others about how God has blessed us, of the things that we are enjoying. We will call attention to these things. They're demonstrations of his grace and of his mercy. If we are really filled with praise, then we don't rest really until we have in some way given expression to our gratitude. We call others to notice what we've been blessed with. If we are thankful, we want others to celebrate with us God's goodness. And in that sense, we cannot rest until all sinners have been called to join us in praise to God. That's the outward, that's the public aspect to thanksgiving. That's something we're doing here this morning. But that's not where it starts. It starts in our hearts. We don't begin our thanksgiving with the externals, with singing songs of praise, with public worship. We begin, first of all, alone with our God. We want to express to him, first of all, our gratitude. We want to speak to him of his wonders. We want to tell him how we feel about his blessings. We want to tell God himself of the pleasure of the taste of salvation, the taste of his goodness. So it's "Praise the Lord, O my soul." That's where it begins. "O my soul, give thanks." And if we have not started there this morning, well, it really becomes difficult to call on others to join in our outpourings of praise. Then it becomes more difficult to join here with hearts full of thanksgiving and praise. So the initial part of praise or of thanksgiving is not only personal. It is also a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the inner man. It's not, first of all, what comes on the lips. It's not, first of all, on bended knee. It involves that, of course. Again, a truly grateful person cannot help but give expression to his gratitude. But first and primarily, thankfulness is not only personal, but it's a matter of the heart and its relationship to God. It's never just a external formality, something we go through. a worship service on Thanksgiving Day, and then we can get on with the rest of it. It's not a formality in which there is no heartthrob of living faith. God desires not just the praise of lips, not just an outward expression. He wants the heart. All empty form is vain. In fact, it's hated. The psalmist says he desires truth in the inward parts. The heart, the seat of life, so to speak, the direction of our lives, must be busy in the praise of the Lord. That's why the psalmist says, "And all that is within me, bless his holy name." With his whole being, but also with his heart, so to speak, he wants to praise God. And if we would acceptably praise and magnify the Lord, we must with heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all of our longing, with all of our emotions, must be praising the Lord. Our praise must captivate every part of our life. We must mindfully, knowingly, willingly, lovingly, ardently, eagerly, and with all of our powers, sing praises to him who is worthy of praise forever. And the psalmist says, "All that is within me, praise his holy name." And this is an important thing. This calling ourselves to praise, this rousing up our hearts to praise, expresses our strong desire, this fervent longing of the inner man to glorify God. A person who is born again will, having tasted that the Lord is gracious, stir himself consistently up to praise. A person who is born again is the only one who can do that. If you are a dead man spiritually, you cannot and you will not be stirring yourself up to praise. Only one who is born again can speak to himself as the psalmist is here, and rousing himself to praise the Almighty for all of his blessings. Only a born-again person is able to incite everything about him to the praise and adoration of God. And the reason a born-again person will do this is because he understands something about himself. Although he has been born again, he's been given new life, he understands that he is yet far from the perfection that God requires of him. He's well aware of his defects. He's well aware of his own sinfulness. He's well aware that his own natural sinful tendency is to be hesitant before others in praise. Sometimes when we are in public, we are hesitant to give any indication that we are believers and that we are thankful. You find that there are many believers, for example, who would never bow their heads in a restaurant. There are some people, when they gather for worship, when they sing, they're not singing out with all their being, but they're barely moving their lips. Or some of you just stand there and you don't even sing. And so, if we know the delight of God, if we know the joy that comes from knowing him revealed in the Word, then we also know that there is within us another law that is always warring against us. And so we'll always be stirring ourselves up to worship. Often we're slow, as I said, to acknowledge the goodness and glory of God. Often we have been surrounded with expressions of steadfast love and tender mercy, and we never took notice. We never took and never broke forth in a glad, thankful note of praise. We hear the word of God preached, and we barely respond with praise. We ought to be ashamed of that because of our ungrateful attitude so frequently assumed over against God, whose faithfulness is new every morning, whose loving kindness and mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. This is why before the service this morning and before every worship service, we take a moment, a private moment, for a final prayer of preparation. The purpose of that is to incite ourselves to worship. It's to lift our hearts to God and to give him gratitude and ask for a heart of worship and praise. So again, this morning, if we have not prepared our hearts, if we've not stirred ourselves up as the psalmist did, then our songs, our prayers, our offerings will not be expressions of true gratitude to God. That's when we have to kneel down in shame and humiliation of our spiritual laziness, of our lukewarmness, of our trend towards indifference of the blessings we have received. We must awaken ourselves again to the praise of our gracious God, not forgetting any of his blessings. Today is a day, national day of thanksgiving. And there are people who will give all sorts of expressions of gratitude in general terms. Many people are simply enjoying all the good things our life has to give. Time with family, time with friends, time with food, and for many people, time with football. But we are a people who have been born again by the Spirit of the living God. And knowing we struggle with a sinful nature, we must, with the psalmist, stir up our hearts to a personal thankfulness and praise. That has to come before our family, our friends, our food, fellowship, and if you do that, your football. Our praise to God comes first. With the psalmist, we speak to ourselves, O my soul, bless thou Jehovah, all within me, bless his holy name. And we must not forget all his benefits. And the psalmist goes on to talk about this. And I've often read this in the hospital with people. He forgives all our sins. That alone is enough to give us pause, isn't it? We have not always been filled with gratitude and praise, but he forgives our ingratitude. He forgives our spiritual and physical laziness. He forgives our sinful thoughts and attitudes, our desires. He forgives our thoughtless words or cruel words. He forgives when we flagrantly transgress his word. He forgives our silent omissions of holy living. He forgives our heartless worship. He forgives all of our sins. All of them. Praise God. Give him thanks for that. For if God would not forgive, but if he would mark transgression, none of us would survive. So praise the Lord. He forgives all of our sins and he heals all of our diseases. And many of us here can speak of healings. We've had colds, we've had flus, we've had broken bones, bad cuts, some of us serious operations, infections, viruses, you know, all sorts of things, physically, medically. And even if we are yet recovering from these things, We thank him for the measure of health that he gives, for the measure of relief he has given, and for knowing that if healing is not his will in this life, we have the assurance of healing in the next. That's a reason for praise, because we deserve eternal punishment. But he heals all of our diseases. We can look forward to a day of no pain or sorrow or disease or death. He redeems our life from the pit. That's death. Even though we have lost loved ones over the past year, and even if it appears to be soon that we will be facing the final enemy, in Christ, though we die, yet we live. He redeems our life from the pit. And he crowns us with love and compassion. Not only, you see, does he forgive our sins, not only does he give us this physical life, not only does he redeem us from eternal death, but he crowns us with love and compassion. He gives us an eternal fellowship with him. He takes us to himself and unites us together in his family so that we may enjoy his love and his mercy at all times. The fact that we are united in one congregation, in one Christian fellowship, is an indication of his faithful blessings to us. We see that he blesses our training of our children. When we see our children walking in the ways of faith, he satisfies our desires with good things. And right there, we can think of a lot of things. Not only forgiveness, not only faith, not only fellowship, but family. That's a blessing. Friends, good friends, Christian friends. Food. We often take that for granted. But it is a blessing that the Lord provides. Houses. That's a reason for thanksgiving. You know how we are with that. After the tornado, I'm very grateful that God provides houses for Mark and Carla and for us, but for all of us who have our own homes and the places to live, that's a reason for giving thanks. For those of us who enjoy good health or measures of health, for those of us who have enough money so that we can live day after day, for those of us who have farms and they're providing us with life, or those of us who have other businesses, we have a society yet in which we live in relative freedom that many people do not enjoy. We have the freedom of worship. We have a freedom of speech. We have the right of assembly. Even though we are living in a country where there have been in this past year some very serious disasters, and not only from nature, but from people inflicting terrible things on others, we can yet speak of the goodness of the Lord to us. Here in this place, he's given us the freedom of weekly worship safely. Every week we can hear the word of God preached in truth. Every week we can sing, lifting our hearts and voices in praise to God. Every week we can testify to each other of his goodness. Every week again we are given opportunities to witness, to fulfill our purpose in giving praise to God, not only here, but when we're on the street to others. Every week again, we have the opportunity to help others in need. Not just when task comes around, but any time. He's provided us with the ability to read, something many of us don't take advantage of the way we should. But he's given us the ability to communicate with each other, even all new manners of technology to do so, which means we have that many more opportunities for mission and ministry. He satisfies us with all good things. And just thinking on these things gives us a joy and an energy to continue in his service. In that sense, you see, our youth is renewed. As we reflect on all of his blessings, our energy is renewed. Our God has not abandoned us. He has not forsaken us. But through us, he is served. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O my inmost being, praise his holy name. This is something we do not only here in worship. Today, as we celebrate with an abundance of food, spend time with family and friends, and we take the time to appreciate, you'd say, the labors of our hands that God has blessed. We appreciate all the blessings God has given us. We understand God blesses those who work hard, and yet we understand that those blessings are not the result of our hard work so much as God's favor shining upon us in our hard work. All our work would earn us nothing apart from his mercy. And as we return to daily activities, we must then too always be inciting ourselves to praise, even as we work, even as we spend time in our families, as we return to studies, in everything. For all he has done for us, for our lives must not only be filled with little moments of praise, but as we sing, our lives must be made of praise in every part. And if you struggle with this, if you say, I'm not feeling the joy, I'm not sensing the abundance of life in God, then take comfort with what the psalmist says at the very beginning. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. He's ready to forgive the coldness of our hearts and ready to restore us to fullness of joy. He sent his Son into the world to save us from our own sin and to unite us together in a community of praise. And if our sins, if our hardness of heart, if our discontent with our own lives and our own situation, if our discontent with others, if bitterness or anger is keeping us from expressing our love and gratitude to him and to all of his people, then we must confess our sins to the Lord and plead for mercy on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ. This promise is certain. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, we who are in Christ know God's blessings, and we join our hearts with other believers, and we call on all men to rejoice in the Lord, because he has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. He knows we are dust, and yet his loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting. We call all creation, in fact, to join us in praise. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. So the final word of the psalm. Praise the Lord. O my soul. Amen.